This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.
Dynasty Happy Hour presents the Fantasy Tilt Podcast. Tim Torch and Dynasty Frank.
All right, and welcome into the Fantasy Tilt Podcast. If you're wondering how we ended up in your phone, in your pocket this morning, it's because we're part of the Dynasty Happy Hour. We are the redraft portion of the Dynasty Happy Hour, and we will be bringing you guys weekly podcasts on redraft and all things fantasy football. I am Keaton. I'll be your host on this magical mystery tour. I am joined by Tim Torch and Dynasty Frank. What's going on, guys?
Not much. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Excited to get this this new podcast rolling. Frank, what's up?
What's going on, fellas? I'm so glad that we finally got the Fantasy Tilt redraft podcast going, and I just so happen to be at Dynasty Frank, so... Do I have to change my name now, like to like at Redraft Frank or something? Or
that's exactly right. So I was contacted about this new redraft podcast. I'm like, cool, yeah, that sounds good. Who are my co-hosts going to be? They said, well, we got the guy from UTH Dynasty and Dynasty Frank.
Perfect.
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
So it's pretty obvious that Dynasty doesn't bring in the money. So they brought in the ringers that can actually. Bring in the follows, bring in the people who want to submit questions, who are interested in their fantasy football teams.
There you go. So of people who may not be involved in Dynasty or somehow have been living under a rock and don't know who you two are, why don't you guys give us a little bit of your backstory, maybe how long you've been doing redraft and how you got into this. So Tim, we'll let you start first.
I actually have a pretty cool story. I started redraft fantasy football just out of the blue. I was working in Cleveland with the Cleveland Indians at the time, and my wife was actually doing her student teaching out of state, and I didn't know many people where I had started working. And this guy walked up to me and he said, do you want to play fantasy football? And I grew up a uber video game nerd that never really watched football. My dad did everything he could to get my brother and I to watch football with him on Sundays, and I could care less. So the first time I actually watched football or thought about football was when this guy asked me to play fantasy football for the first time in 2008. So my track record for football overall is very short. And Chad Parsons with UTH always laughs at me all the time because he'll bring up these famous football players from back in the day. I know the big names like the Jim Brown or the really big names that people should know, but the big names that are a little bit hidden, I have no clue. It's beyond me. So I was asked to play my first redraft league in 2008. I won my first year in, and I was addicted. It was instant catch. I went from one team to 10 redraft teams the following year. And of course I finished last place in every league my second year. So I just found myself going deeper and deeper, and I love redraft. I find it to be very competitive. It's usually better communication with people, and it's great that Dynasty Frank and the suit, Keaton, is actually leading
us on this. Become a thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So the suit is actually leading us in this big endeavor, and I'm just glad that Dynasty Happy Hour finally realized where its true roots should be in redraft.
Redraft is definitely where it's at, and it sounds like you really jumped in the deep end there after that first year.
Oh, I did, and I suffered. I just read all the magazines, and that was right about the time that quarterbacks were all the hype, and you have I still remember like Matthew Berry ranking Michael Vick number one overall in his fantasy projections, and
that's before the whole late round anything occurred.
Yeah, late round every zero every. That's what I that'll be our recommendation. zero everything. Just don't pick for the first five rounds.
Except punters. We got to get punters.
Oh, no. We're not ranking punters. That's not happening.
We're having a hard enough time getting Frank to do wide receivers. I can't
imagine. I did it today on my lunch break. Wink today. I have a notebook. But
all right, Frank. So what's your story?
My story is kind of similar, except that in New York City, when somebody walks up to you, they ask you if you want drugs, not if you want to join a fantasy football league. So besides that, you know, like if a stranger is walking up to you in New York, it's not to join a fantasy football league. Let's just put it that way. But I want to say like 2005, 2006, a buddy of mine asked me to join. Somebody dropped out of their redraft league, and I always loved football, loved being that whole GM, like with the video games and Sega Genesis with the Deion Sanders video game. And loved everything about football. I still do. So a buddy of mine said, somebody fell out of his league. It was late minute. You mind coming over? It was a live draft. Come over to my house. Let's do this. I'm like, fantasy football? What the? I had no idea. It was literally by
far. What kind of shit is this?
Yeah, what kind of shit is this? So a buddy of mine, we co-owned, you know. So I was like, okay, fine, let's do this. And then we drafted and we won. And then the next year we won again. And then I said, screw this. I'm going to go from redraft to contracts. Auction salary cap. I went straight from redraft to that. I won that league, and I'm like, this is just, I love this. I love it.
You're the GOAT, it sounds like.
I'm sorry?
I said, you're the GOAT, it sounds like.
I mean, that's what I've been trying to tell people forever. But no. But yeah, just like Tim, once you just get that taste of victory, you're just hooked. And yeah,
absolutely. You know, it's funny. We didn't talk about this before at all, but we all have very similar starts in Dynasty, or not Dynasty, in fantasy football. When I was in high school, I had a couple friends who were really into fantasy baseball and 162 games. I'm thinking, brutal. This is crazy. I don't really watch that much sports. I can't do it. There's no way. And they said, well, how about fantasy football? It's really easy. You won't have to spend any time doing it. And that's how I fell into the trap. And that was like 2004, and my first draft was so miserably bad. I thought Antonio Gates was a wide receiver. It was terrible. So I had to like work really hard to get that team back. And I actually added, this is like a home league, you know. So I added Joey Galloway and Santana Moss off of waivers because we didn't have any, you know, priority or anything. It was just. Yeah, so they combined for like 2,700 receiving yards that year, and I won. Like, just dumb luck. Didn't even know who these players were. And after that, I was completely, just hooked. That was 2004, 2005, and I've been sucked in ever since. And how I went down the road of getting into, like, you know, writing and now doing this podcast with you guys is I got to the point where I realized, man, these guys that are on ESPN or wherever, you know, I have the access to the same information they do.
Yeah.
So instead of buying this magazine off the shelf, like, why don't I just kind of do this myself? It might be fun. So I started doing my own rankings and all that stuff. And then I just, you know, it spirals out of control from there. You can't stop.
Oh, no. There's no stopping this.
No, there isn't. And one question I had, and I still, the only reason I'm asking, I remember this. It is etched into my mind. The first sleeper I ever hit on. So the sleeper, that guy who's late round that just hits. I still remember the first year I played drafting Michael Turner, his first year with the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the guy, for whatever reason, I was just drawn to him. Do either of you remember just that one guy that maybe that first guy on that first league that you were just like, this is my guy, and you nailed it?
I think, I don't think it was a sleeper. I remember Joseph Addai. I remember drafting Joseph Addai. I think it was
year.
And I got some slack for it. and Joseph Addai, who the hell is Joseph Addai? And I'm like, I think he's going to do well, you know, like whatever. And I think that was one. And, what's the other one?
I had a good one while you're thinking of it. It was the same year that Michael Turner went nuts in Atlanta. I had gone into my home draft and we were drinking or whatever, you know, so I wasn't really paying attention. and I made the mistake of leaving my draft with three running backs. Like, I only had three running backs on my team. They were Clinton Portis, Michael Turner, and Matt Forte his rookie year.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
And I just tore it up. So, like, Forte was my guy. I was so excited to get him. And they just beasted that year. I mean, it was – that was awesome. So that's probably the one I remember the most is think everybody's giving me a hard time for having three running backs. And they all played 16 games and just – I didn't need any more.
Yeah, I remember. Now I remember. I drafted Steven Jackson his rookie year. And then somebody after me is like, I'm going to draft a starter in Marshall Falk. And I'm like, what? Steven Jackson? I mean, like, again, just give it a chance. Steven Jackson's going to be GOAT. And, yeah, so those were my two ones that I hit.
Sure enough, he was, yeah. So this is the Fantasy Tilt podcast after all. So I'm gonna share something that kind of has me on tilt. Today. And, you know, so this is more, it's kind of going along with the draft thing. And when you're in slow drafts, this is maybe amplified a little bit. And I'm sure, you know, a few of us were involved in a very big slow draft recently.
Yes.
Not naming any names, but
we could
name redacted.
Yes,
right. Name redacted. So when you're in a slow draft and somebody's been on the clock for a while and you don't really know them, so you just kind of give them that gentle nudge, like, hey, you know, you're on the clock. You mind making a pick or whatever? And they go, oh, yeah, just give me the exact same guy you were hoping I wouldn't pick right now. That drives me nuts, because if I gave them more time to think about it, maybe they would have, like, picked somebody else. But they go, just give me Eric Ebron in the 11th. And I'm like, oh, that was my next pick. What are you? Oh gosh, why didn't you just I should have let you time out and just pick, you know, Carson Palmer on auto pick or something. Like, oh, it's so brutal. And it probably happened to me in the SFB, I don't know, 4, 5, 17 times.
You didn't learn after the first two times?
No, because I'm so impatient. I can't wait. And then I get punished for it, and it's the worst. Oh, yeah. So if I'm a little tilted, that's what it is. I'm still reeling from my SFB defeat, I think, already.
How are your teams, both of yours?
Oh, my! I love my team. Everyone keeps saying how much they hate their teams, and I can't help but to love my team. I started off pretty. I felt strong. I'm actually really on top of Melvin Gordon this year. A lot of people want to say that he was maybe a 1 year wonder with what he did with the Chargers last year, but I actually think he still has more room for improvement. We'll Absolutely. Talk about news in a couple minutes, but we have the improvements they made to the offensive line. They took, I think their first two picks were offensive players. And then you also have the news we're going to get to in a minute with Mike Williams. So that's more targets going his way. I just think overall, it's going to be a better situation, and hopefully he's one more year into it. His body develops, but I have three starting quarterbacks: Blake Bortles, Andy Dalton, and Joe Flacco. My running backs go 7 or 8 deep with Tevin Coleman, Melvin Gordon, Frank Gore, Darren McFadden, with another piece of news we're going to be talking about in a minute. Joe Mixon, Chris Thompson.
Jesus.
Wow, dude.
Danny Woodhead, and this is my flyer, and this is a guy that we may not talk about here, but D'Angelo Williams. I'm still on the belief that he may come back this year. I think he still has a shot to come back and could have a significant role with the team, but my wide receivers are still up and down. Odell Beckham Jr., Randall Cobb.
Wait, how do you get Melvin Gordon and Odell Beckham Jr. and Randall Cobb on the same team? Like,
I actually have Elliott and OBJ on the same team.
This is ridiculous. I was in the worst division, the most nobody fell. Like, seriously, you had to jump the board if you wanted somebody. I mean, everybody was sniped between Ty Miller, Adam Rank. Everybody was just sniping me left and right. I love my team. I tell everybody I love my team just to piss them off, but I hate my team. Team.
It's brutal. I think the scoring's so strange, though, that I don't think anybody really knows, you know, who's bad and who's good. I mean, we're gonna have to see week 1, and then you'll start to get a feel for, you know, what's what. But Tim kind of led in a little bit to the news, so we can go ahead and do the news and notes now if you guys are done with the SFB stuff. All right. So let's go ahead and get into it. This week we had on July 17th was the last day for franchise players under the franchise tag to sign their long-term deals. They don't necessarily have to sign the tag, but just, you know, they can't negotiate a long-term deal after the 17th. So the two players of note that didn't sign long-term deals are Kirk Cousins and Le'Veon Bell. You know, Cousins has come out and said that he needs more time to assess the Redskins, probably wants their president to learn his name isn't Kirk. And Bell is saying stuff like he wants to reset the running back market. What do you guys think of these moves? Are they relevant for fantasy?
No, not this year. Not redrafted. They're not. I mean, they're both going to play for teams. They're both going to play for their teams. Le'Veon Bell might hold out a couple of days, but I don't know what's the fine for holding out, but it's like $15,000 a day or something stupid like that. So he's not
nothing compared to what he's going to get paid under that tag. I mean,
right, $12.1 million guaranteed. So he's going to play. They're going to feed him. Like they did the last 2 years. I know everybody loves just James Conner. Let's just pump the brakes on James Conner. Le'Veon Bell for this year is still a top two, top three running back.
If you're in any sort of like a keeper league or anything, does that change your opinion at all if you have two or three keepers in sort of a redraft type setting?
No, nothing. I still want Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. I'm treating it like it's nothing.
Yeah, I actually like and going to Kirk Cousins. I really like the team that they have around him. I know that they need Doxson to take a step forward, but you know, Pryor's an athlete they didn't have on that team last year. You know, to go along with Jordan Reed and Crowder's still there. They still might not be able to run the ball, you know, so 5,000 yards isn't out of the question. So I think that he's going to be out there trying to prove the Redskins wrong and get that next big deal.
Yeah, one thing I'll add, and Frank, you mentioned it quickly, the teams actually can't fine either of those players as long as they don't sign their franchise tag. So as it stands right now, Le'Veon Bell, since he didn't sign anything, he can't be fined because he's technically not a part of the Steelers. Now, okay. That doesn't mean that if he comes back, he may not get – if he tries to hold out any longer or if he misses parts of training camp and things like that, he would be subject once he signs. But as of right now, he's in limbo, which is really interesting to me because he could just say, screw this, I'm going to save my body for 1 year and we're moving on. I don't think it's going to happen. There's
$12 million guaranteed dollars. I mean,
$12 million guaranteed. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a ton especially for a running back.
Yeah.
And he's in a spot where that team can make a push too. You know, and he wants to get out there and win just as much as anybody else. So I think Frank's right. I don't know that these really mean that much from a redraft perspective. But that's interesting about the tag thing not signing him yet.
And Kirk Cousins, I love Kirk Cousins. He had a ton of targets leave between Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson, but you have Josh Doxson coming back healthy. You have Terrell Pryor and Jordan Reed. As long as he's healthy, he's productive. And Jameson Crowder, there's so many different targets there. I don't know if I would be the guy recommending a specific target, but all of those points. What's that?
But you want Cousins.
Oh, I want Cousins, yeah, because Cousins is going to – he's going to let it fly out there. Absolutely. But each target may be a little bit devalued because you don't know which one it's going to come from week to week.
Sure. So so moving out west to the Los Angeles Chargers, they have yet another injury to their wide receiver core.
Brutal.
There's some mixed reports on this one, but for Mike Williams, it came out this morning that maybe he's been hiding a back injury and needs season-ending surgery. And this is an injury that goes back to, what was his sophomore year at Clemson? He had hurt his neck, and maybe it's a complications of that. But then this afternoon, Ian Rappaport comes out and says the surgery was actually something they were considering 3 to 4 weeks ago, and he's going to be fine. Maybe he'll start on PUP, but he has a chance to play this year. Does this move the needle for you guys at all?
It does for me. I'm especially in redraft, I'm not the guy that's going to trust a rookie wide receiver. And this news, the way people should be looking at it, he's missing some time with the Chargers. He's missing installation time. He's missing the routes. He's missing chemistry with Phillip Rivers. Keenan Allen, I pray that he finally comes back and does what he's supposed to. But it's all system go. It will be all systems go for Tyrell Williams if he really is in this position. I was all systems go for Mike Williams if he was healthy in camp, working with Phillip Rivers. If this is truly the case, I'm out. I can't touch him in redraft.
Yeah, okay. I totally agree. You can't touch him in redraft. You got to treat him like Josh Doctson. You know,
yeah.
Like
oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at the ADP where they're going. I can't find it right now. But Tyrell Williams is going in the 10th round, 48th wide receiver overall. You know that's going to jump up now. You know
where do you think it's going to go? That'll be my question. How many more rounds up can it go from there?
I say I'm looking in the ninth. You know what? late ninth now. Yeah, yeah. Like ahead of Quincy and Nunwa. I think ahead of Corey Davis.
I think the biggest thing for me with this Mike Williams news is I fade rookie receivers in redraft anyway, like because they're always overpriced, even if they absolutely hit. Like even Amari Cooper, you paid too much for him for what he did, and he was amazing his rookie year, but you had to take him in like the fourth round or the third round, and the value just isn't there for these rookies. But the thing that this does now is when I was thinking I can get Tyrell Williams way late, that's not going to be the case anymore. And that's where this news I think affects the most is the prices of the other guys. Like Hunter Henry is going to start sliding up people's boards. People are going to be more excited about Melvin Gordon, whether or not that's warranted. It just kind of pushes everybody else.
Here's where it gets fuzzy for me. So you're talking Tyrell Williams or Devontae Parker. You're talking Tyrell Williams, Eric Decker. Tyrell mm-hmm. Williams or John Brown. That is realistically the area yeah. he's going right now. And I'm would be willing to go Tyrell Williams right now because you're talking about a guy where Keenan Allen is healthy by all reports right now, but who knows how long that's going to last. You're talking about a guy who could be the number one wide receiver very easily and mm-hmm. spent all last year with Phillip Rivers.
And he's a height speed guy too, so he's not going to play the same role in that offense as Keenan Allen. You know, Keenan Allen's more the crossing route, the underneath type guy, along with the tight ends. But Tyrell can get deep, and he was a 1,000-yard receiver last year, or he was close, like right there.
Yeah, he was right there. I'm trying to look it up.
Well, let's move on to the big news. I guess the elephant in the room being Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, what hasn't this guy done to hurt his stock and to get suspended? Like, what does he have to do to get suspended? Gotten the fight on Sunday night where he was allegedly involved in breaking a DJ's nose at a nightclub. He's got a 100-mile-an-hour speeding ticket. He's still under investigation from 2 years ago for allegedly pushing his girlfriend or whatever that situation was that the league's been looking into. He's got Dak mad at him about the body issue. I mean, this guy, is he still the three, right now?
Yeah, to me, he still is right now in redraft. I don't care. I'm sorry.
move McFadden up. I'm still taking Zeke.
yeah. Exactly. You move McFadden up up the board, but you're still taking Zeke at three. At least I am. I'm taking Zeke. They already came out and said the cops suspended the investigation because nobody's cooperating with them.
Oh yeah, Dallas PD. Right, I did see that.
Yeah. Well, snitches get stitches, right? So so nobody's gonna rat out Ezekiel Elliott. That 100 mile an hour speeding ticket, that was from April or March or something like that.
Yeah, it's because he was appealing it or something, tried to fight it, so then it kind of came back up on the radar a little bit. But
still doing that.
This guy just can't stay out of trouble. He had the incident at the parade,
that's
pulling down that girl's shirt. I mean,
right, he was photographed in a weed spot too, right, in Houston or Dallas or something like that. Was it?
Oh, probably. Like
a cannabis spot, and he was just photographed. Wasn't smoking, but he was photographed in there.
Yeah. Well, I think Ezekiel Elliott needs football back as much as the rest of us do. Like, yeah. Just get that dude on a football field, and he'll take care of the rest. But Tim, you were saying that you're high on Melvin Gordon, so you don't think about him at the third running back over Elliott then?
Oh, no, definitely not. Zeke is – and I live in Ohio, so I guess that may tell you a little bit about where my home was.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I was with Zeke when he started with Ohio State, and I will stick with him. Maybe people saw the body issue and realized that he's not a guy they want to mess with. So maybe that's how it really goes. But this guy is slippery. I'm worried that he's going to, if you want to take a long-term picture, I'm worried that he's going to be put in a position where he's not going to be able to talk his way out of it, or his buddies or whoever's with him is not going to be able to work out. But in this case specifically, when you're talking redraft, I'm in. 100% in. I will move McFadden up my board. He's the type of guy that I'd probably reach for in the 7th, 8th round, somewhere around there, to get my handcuff, because I think McFadden could fill in very well. And the offensive line for Dallas, while it has taken a step back, is still a dominant force.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, let's say Roger Goodell, because he can basically do whatever he wants. He comes out. How big is it? How long does this suspension have to be for you to start sliding Zeke?
4 games.
So 3 games, you'd still be first round Ezekiel Elliott, no question.
Yeah, 4 games, then I'll maybe drop him to like 5th. I put a Melvin Gordon and Jay Ajayi. This is like right off, like thinking about it now off the top of my head, I'd probably drop him to 5th.
Well, how far did Le'Veon Bell fall last year?
Right. He fell to like the late first round.
Right, exactly.
He still led the league in what, yards? Rushing yards?
But last year was a big receiver year, so I think he was sliding behind receivers. Did he fall down the running back rankings that far? A couple spots, maybe. I'd have to go back and look at it, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, the first round last year, people were all on board with wide receivers. I mean, it was AJ Green, and you had Julio and OBJ.
Bell was going right around 110, according to fantasyfootballcalculator.com, their ADP.
Okay, so he was probably like the 5 or 6 running back after the suspension.
Yeah.
He was going behind Todd Gurley, David Johnson, Zeke Elliott, Adrian Peterson, and Lamar Miller.
So there you go.
Okay. Yeah, that's about right. Whew, man, that was a rough round for running back last year. That sounds brutal.
Yeah.
This year won't happen, though, because they got the Fantasy Tilt podcast to get them through it. We won't be taking those busts in the first round.
How many tilts do you think we're going to experience this year on the pod? I'm good for 5 tilts a week. 5 tilts a Sunday. A Sunday I'm good for.
We'll get those up there for sure.
Losing my mind.
We may get a few more before we're done here. So before we get into the kind of the bulk of our show, we're going to go over some of our rankings and stuff that are up on the website. I've got a word from our lovely sponsors, so I'll do this real quick. The Sit or Start app is sponsoring the show. They are an app that you can get it on your phone. It's Google, the iTunes store. This app is actually incredible. I didn't really know about it until I saw this. And I was checking it out the other day. And, I mean, they have headlines in there. You can get all your news. You get your projections. Their player tracker is amazing. You can plug in your teams. They have box scores. They have side-by-side player comparisons. It's like a tale of the tape. I mean, you can go down if they're healthy or not, what their projections are that week, their matchups. It's got all that information in there. And they also have podcasts. So you can listen to us while you're in that app, and you'll just automatically get the Dynasty Happy Hour, you'll get the Open Bar, you'll get our podcast. There's Trophy Times on there, I think. I mean, it's great stuff. They're also going to be bringing out some DFS content. I mean, this app's got everything you need. It's a Sit or Start app. They are at Sit or Start app on Twitter. They're a great follow there. If you just want those quick headlines, they're constantly churning those things out. So thanks to them for sponsoring the show, and make sure you check out their app. It's a good group over there. So we're going to get into the rankings. Our rankings are available on the website at dynastyhappyhour.com. We have Frank and I did rankings. And Frank, are your receivers up there now, or did we just get them done?
No, I just got them done today, like I said, at during lunchtime. So it's in my notebook somewhere. I just
okay. Got it up so on to those will come soon, and we'll do the receivers. Maybe we'll loop back to those in a future podcast. But we'll do, I guess, the quarterbacks, running backs, tight ends, and kind of go over maybe some of our differences. And maybe even before we do that, we'll do kind of what our philosophy is in ranking and kind of how we go about making our rankings. Because, you know, it's people who may be new to fantasy football, haven't done their own rankings before, and it sounds like a daunting task when you step back and look at it. You know, how do I start even ranking 200-plus players? So what are your guys' – like, where do you start for somebody who's thinking about doing their own rankings?
Tim, or I guess
there's a reason I'm not in this conversation. So.
Well, Frank, do you?
Let's go ahead and start with you. I'll actually start passing it around. Frank, my personal reason for not doing rankings is what Keaton the suit just started saying when he said it is a constant week to week battle of who goes where and in what order, and boy, you're going to be hammered hard and you just have to be right on top of it. So Frank, I mean, what when you're looking at overall, so we're starting from point A to Z for the entire year. What is your starting point?
Right. Okay. So I start ranking like, I don't know, in June, and I never finish ever.
You shouldn't finish. No, it's constant. Stops.
From day to day, I'm like, why do I have, you know, like Russell Wilson so low, or why do I have Matthew Stafford so low? Or it's basically it's last year's production, right? Any changes in the team, tendencies, adding how they drafted. It's a combination of a lot of things. It's what's going on in camp. Like we did this, it says here, July 8th. From July 8th, Keaton and I were just going through it before we went on. I'm looking at my rankings, and I'm like, why did I put him here? Like, why did I feel like at that moment, I'm like, you know what? Marshawn Lynch is going to goat. He's going to be fantastic in this. And then, like, between, you know, the 8th and now, you're like, you read a little bit more. Some smart people are doing some more in-depth analysis. And I'm like, all right, so maybe I'm a little bit too high on Marshawn Lynch.
Lynch hasn't touched a football since we did these rankings.
So, yes, it's a constant fluid thing. Rankings are never said. I don't think I've heard or saw anyone that says in June, this is my rankings, and in August, you know, September 6th or whatever, it's the same. You know,
that's the danger people run into when they think, I'll just go get these magazines or something off the shelf or a static website. Oh, yep. And they think they can use those rankings, but they're from late July and you haven't even seen training camp yet. Mm-hmm. But for me, how I started ranking, and this was years back, I started thinking I could do this myself. But what I started doing is I would take ADP from either the site that you're going to draft on for your league. So if it's ESPN or NFL or Yahoo or whatever, get an ADP that you trust and kind of go down the list. It's like, do I like this player? Maybe you move them up a couple spots ahead of their ADP so that you can target them in your draft. And, you know, you don't like a player, or this player is in no way ever going to be on your team. You drop them down 6 spots, 10 spots, and you can kind of start to make your own customized ADP. And then you kind of create your rankings based on what your projections for these players are. So I think a good example would be like this year for me, Zach Ertz is like the tight end to own. Like I think he can be a top 3 tight end. He was the number 1 tight end over the back half of last season. But so if I think he's going to be top 3, but I don't need to rank him there because I don't have to pick him there. So if I want to draft off of these rankings, I have to sort of take my projection of number 3 and kind of marry it to the ADP where he's going as tight end 11. So I got to get him somewhere in the middle where I'm getting a value, but I'm not going to miss out on the guy that I think is a home run. So you kind of have to, I think I have him at 5 right now, and maybe that can be even like 8 and I'm still safe of getting my guy. Maybe I'm reaching for him a little bit, but if he meets my projections for him, I mean, that's a huge hit for me. And that's kind of the basic process that I go through when I'm doing my rankings. Do I want this guy? How bad do I need him on my team? And then you kind of adjust from there.
So you brought up a really good point that I'm not sure a lot of people follow. And something when I very first started playing was I listened to football guys a lot when I first started, and they always mentioned the drum beat during training camp. Is that something that you follow along with? So one of the early ones I remember them talking about was John Brown. You kept hearing the steady drumbeat of positive reports coming from camp. Is that something you pay attention to a lot, or do you pretty much dismiss 90% of what comes out of training camp?
I dismiss a lot of it, to be honest with you, just because especially in redraft, I am not into young players. I mean, they got to show me something first before I'm going to really move them up my rankings. Those are kind of the guys that I'll kind of make a mental note of. So if I'm in the last round of my draft and I really need a wide receiver who could be a big hit, you know, maybe I'll think, okay, you know, John Brown, I heard something about him. You know, maybe he's shown something. He could be a sleeper. But as far as like making a real dent in my rankings, I'm not going to start moving him up above, you know, whether it's Randall Cobb or whoever it is to get him earlier, especially in redrafts 15 rounds. I mean, a lot of those guys that you really hear news about and start to fly up rankings, they fly up from undrafted to a late round flyer. You know, they're not really moving that much. Unless it's like an injury or something where, you know, if Carlos Hyde is getting reps with the fourth team or something in San Francisco. I mean, for the most part, it's not really going to make a difference, but there are a few situations in camp battles that I'll be watching just to see, you know, who the potential starter could be or things like that.
Frank, do you have anything to add?
No, that was perfect. That's exactly the right way to do it. Or you could just do like what I do, just flip a coin. And you just, you know, like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, let's flip a coin. Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers. No, it's was perfect, Keaton. That's why it's like a dance. It's a mixture. It's like you're baking your rankings. I think I stole that from somebody. Because you know, you add little ingredients to everything and then your rankings get spewed out somehow. So
do we want to get into some of the specifics here, and I'll tell Frank why he's wrong and move on?
Oh, yeah. All right. So something I did earlier today was I went through your rankings of quarterbacks, running backs, and also tight ends to see where the biggest discrepancies are. And I'm not going to weigh in on a side, but I will say that I do have strong feelings going one way or the other with a few of these guys.
I do have strong feelings myself. I don't know why.
The first one I'm on tilt about will actually be Dak Prescott. And Frank, you crazy son of a gun, you have Dak Prescott at 10.
He has him at 10? No.
And Keaton has Dak Prescott at 17. So, yeah. Frank, you're saying he is a solid quarterback one for 2017.
Well, on July 8th, I felt that way. And
he's backpedaling already. He's backpedaling.
No, I don't see him at 10 now. I messed that up a little bit. I think he's – I am worried about him. Listen, I don't think he's going to score 6 rushing touchdowns. I don't think he's going to be, what, second in the league in rushing yards with a quarterback. The Dallas Cowboys had the number one rush attempts last year. I think they were 24th in pass attempts. Like, he basically scored his points on the ground, more or less. I don't think that's going to happen again, but I don't see him at, you know, 24. I see him as a late a QB 12. All right, I'm going to just hedge it and just say QB 12. 12 to 14 is about right. 10, if Zeke is in trouble and you know, maybe they run him a little bit more. I don't know. I'm just grasping at straw. But yeah, around 12 is where I would put him right now. But yeah, I have him at 10. Technically, you are correct.
So I had him at 17, and I think that once you start getting into this set of guys, you're thinking maybe you missed out on a quarterback early, or you kind of were targeting maybe Drew Brees in the middle rounds and missed him, or Russell Wilson, or whoever it was, and maybe you grabbed two guys late that you can kind of piece together and cobble together some starters out of. But for me, I mean, Dak Prescott's year, his rookie year was amazing, right? For the volume that he had, which was basically nothing. Dallas was dead last in pass percentage. They were 30th in the league in pass attempts. But somehow he was top 5 in efficiency. He was top 5 in yards per attempt. I mean, the guy had a magical rookie season, but what that says to me is that he was getting these play action plays and they were just taking deep shots to open receivers. You know, people were stacking the box thinking a rookie's not going to beat him. And I think he gets more respect from defenses this year. And I just don't think it's repeatable. Jason Witten's a year older. I mean, Dez is really their only legitimate threat. I know Cole Beasley's still there, but I don't think he's scaring anybody. And I just think the quarterback's so deep that, you know, you don't need a guy who's going to get 3,500 yards. You need to get the guys that have, you know, 5,000 with an upside for 35 touchdowns. I just don't see that from Dak. So that's why he's where he is in my rankings.
So my weigh in on this is definitely Dak would not be quarterback 10 for me. If we look at fantasyfootballcalculator.com, you can see that Dak is currently going at 10-11. So he is the 14th quarterback going off the board. And he's still going in front of quarterbacks like Matthew Stafford, Eli Manning, Andy Dalton, and a person we're going to get to in a second, Tyrod Taylor.
Well, if we want to look at Fantasy Pros ADP, he's going as quarterback 9. So
I'm just trying to be consistent. So if we want to look at Fantasy Pros, we can look at either one. I guess my bigger point is my feeling on Dak is that, number one, I feel that offensive line has taken a step back with two big losses. And you're also saying that Jonathan Cooper is going to be responsible for playing left guard on one of the best supposed offensive lines in the league, which is a tough task for someone who's been cut or traded multiple times already since being a first round pick. And their right tackle position is a revolving door right now. So I have my concerns on whether or not Dak can come anywhere close to what he did in 2016. So I would take all of those quarterbacks ahead of him easily.
And it's nothing against Dak, so the Cowboys fans don't come after us. I mean, he's a good, promising young quarterback, but with the depth of the position and just sort of that offense and how it's going to be run, you know, I just don't think the fantasy production is there.
So moving on to – oh, do you want to weigh in a little bit more?
Only on the Cowboys fans. They can come at us. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They can bring it if they want.
Okay.
Well – They definitely don't want to hear my feelings on Dez Bryant then. So
ooh, yeah.
So we'll take that for another episode. Yeah, we'll move on to Tyrod Taylor as our second guy. And again, Frank,
it's the same reasons.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to running back then. If we're gonna be very similar, let's move on to Marshawn Lynch. We kind of teased that one a little bit earlier.
Sure.
And I'll flip this around next time around to someone Keaton's higher on, but we had to do it one more time with Frank. You have Marshawn Lynch up to number 12.
Yes.
And Keaton, you have Lynch down to 22. I'll let Keaton start this one off.
Yeah, so I think his ADP it was right around 15 or something like that amongst running backs. Is that right? You still have that list up?
Well, I got to go to Fantasy Pros now because
he's 11th on Fantasy Football Calculator.
He's 11th.
Yes.
See, I think that's part of my rankings on Lynch were just that there's no way I'm going to own him at his price. You know where he's going. He is one of four active players with more than 2,000 carries. I mean, the only people who have more are Peterson, Gore, and Forte, who people are writing off as being broken down. But Lynch, who hasn't had an effective season since 2014, is riding in on this white horse, and people think he's going to save Oakland. I'm not sure what people are hoping for here. I see the potential for the touchdowns, but you know, there's other running backs there that are going to chip in. He's not going to get any passing down work in that offense. So if you play any sort of PPR league, I'm just completely out. And I think that Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington are there and can make some noise. I don't know that the Raiders were necessarily counting on Lynch showing up, but they'll obviously take him. But I just don't see the upside there. If he was my RB2, that's fine. There's no way I'm counting on him as my RB1, though, a 31-year-old running back who's got that mileage on him.
One more question, Suit. Over under 10 touchdowns for Lynch this year.
I think he's going to come in right at like 8 or 9. And part of that is because I don't think he makes it a full season. In 2015, when he was playing, he had constant back problems and back spasms. And I'm sure he feels great now because he's not taking a beating from those interior linemen and middle linebackers. But you start having to carry the load. People forget Lynch isn't a big dude. I know he runs like he is, but he's still under 220. You know, he's kind of a smaller guy. He takes a beating, and I don't think those back spasms are gonna go away just because he's 2 years older than he was when he had those problems before. So, you know.
All right, Frank, light him up.
I'm not gonna light him up. Those are valid concerns, especially when you look at the wide receivers, the running backs going behind him. The thing is, I love Marshawn Lynch. Everybody loves Beast Mode.
Love him. Those commercials are great.
He's great. If anybody can run like a beast with a chip on his shoulder from it in his hometown with that offensive line, with a great offense, basically, you know, like I love that offensive line. The defense isn't even, you know, it's okay. It's getting better. I'm hoping that they play with a lead so he can pull a Seattle and just run, you know, like what he did in Seattle and just run out the clock. But I just love. I want to root for Marshawn Lynch in fantasy football. fun. Actually, I just bought a Marshawn Lynch jersey. It should be coming in from China in 3 months. But I want to root for Marshawn Lynch, and I think that if he's coming back, this is his only year, right? What, he signed a 2-year contract, but this is really his only year. I'm
right,
pretty sure
he's an Oakland guy.
Yes. He's an
I don't want to sound like I'm writing him off as a publicity stunt for Oakland or anything. Like, I'm rooting for the guy too. I love a comeback story. With my second round pick, though, which is where he's going the end of the second round, there's just no way I'm taking that risk at that point. If he falls a little bit, maybe I'll think about it. But I mean, I'd have to be in the fourth or the fifth to take a chance.
Fourth or the fifth. I mean, I'm seeing Doug Martin in the fifth. You'd rather have Marshawn Lynch or Doug Martin?
Well, with the suspension, I'd probably take Marshawn Lynch, just because Martin's, I'm staying away from that altogether. Kenneth Dixon's in that boat too. I just don't want to miss a guy for 20% of the season.
This is you're being all reasonable and stuff. I just want to root for Marshawn Lynch.
I'll root for him on Sundays
because I think they can feed him and that offensive line. And you know, they're not going to stack the box. You got Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, that still gets kind of no love in the community, and he's the last 2 years. I'm gonna say it, he's outplayed Amari Cooper. Ooh, it hurts some people, but he's outplayed Amari Cooper the last couple of years. So, and you can get him later, but that's neither here nor there. So, I think Lynch is going to put running back one numbers up this year.
Think he plays a full 16 games? Then that's kind of what you're expecting from him, or close to it, 14, 15.
Yeah, I'll say that 13 games. There we go. 13.
Okay. So, Sue, one thing I'll say for Frank, if he does play 16 games this year,
yeah.
If he is the guy all season, where would you be willing to move him to?
Well,
I think that's a leap of faith, but I'm also not a fan of projecting injuries.
Right. So if I was projecting every running back in the league to finish with 16 games, he wouldn't move. If I knew Lynch was the only one that was guaranteed to play 16 games, he's like 102, 103. Like, because I want a guy who's going to be out there with touchdown potential every single game all season over guys that may be an injury risk at that point. But I think that saying that Lynch is the one guy who's going to be there 16, there's younger, more talented guys out there, I think, that can get it done. So I would still, probably have him. I mean, if I knew he was going to be there, he'd be an RB1 if he's going to play 16 games. I just can't take that risk.
For some reason, I'm getting that Jerome Bettis feel last year from Marshawn Lynch.
You know what I mean? He gets like 70 carries and 20 touchdowns.
Yeah, just like it's his last year. He's, he's not going to go. He's not going to really do anything at training camp. They're going to keep him fresh. And then he's going to, just retire next year. I'm thinking this is his only year, and they're gonna run him into the ground.
So here's where he's going, though. So you have Lynch, and right around that end of the second round, you have Amari Cooper's there, Doug Baldwin, Dez Bryant. Where I'm taking Lynch over a receiver at that point, even if I really want a running back.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm taking those wide receivers more. Yes.
Yeah. If he falls,
Marshawn Lynch at a reasonable price. I'd take him over Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, because I just don't want a receiver that's that volatile on my team. But I probably would just try to stay away from either of them. But I think that if I got Lynch in the back half of the third, fourth round, I would start to get the itch a little bit just for that. You want him on your team when that comeback story happens. That'd be so much fun. I just want to win fantasy. I don't really care what Lynch is doing. I want to win that championship belt or whatever my league's got on the line.
All right. I promised Frank his shot at the suit. So
okay, yeah, we'll do it.
We got one more good one, and boy, suit, you got your work cut out for you here.
Uh-oh.
Zach Ertz at 5, tight end 5.
Yeah.
Frank has him at 12.
Okay.
Frank, I want you to start this one off. I need you to put the wood down on this young man early. We'll see if he gets back up.
Don't wrinkle my suit.
No, he's very well done. No, listen, Ertz. I don't know where to begin with Ertz. It's not like I hate Ertz. I don't hate Ertz, but at five, you're talking. So you would take Ertz ahead of Let's look ahead of Kyle Rudolph, Hunter Henry, Delaney Walker, Tyler Eifert, Jimmy Graham, and Greg Olsen. Is Greg Olsen you? Where are you?
Let me pull it up here. Who's
right now?
To be honest, I ranked people around where I had Ertz. Like, I was so high on him, I put him there, and then made everybody else fit.
Jimmy Graham 4, Ertz 5. So yeah. Olsen's after him, Tyler Eifert's after him, Kyle Rudolph, Eric Ebron, Delaney Walker. I just can't see. I just don't have Ertz at 5. I listen, you love him. Who am I? We just went through my quarterbacks, and no, I'm not going to crap on you for Ertz. I have it on number 5. I disagree. Is the ADP disagrees, projections disagree, but we all have those players. Mine happens to be Lynch. Yours happens to be Ertz. So.
Sure. So Ertz at 5 is a little bit of a statement, just because I think
little,
that his
little
spot
bit of a statement.
Yeah, his ADP at 11 is a joke that he's that low. And part of the reason for that is because the tight end position is just so injury riddled. You look at the guys, like, everybody thinks Jordan Reed, right, is a huge injury risk, misses all these games. He actually plays a higher percentage of his games than Gronkowski or Eifert. So you have those three guys that may play, you know, if they are playing 8 to 10 games or something, and you have Ertz for a full season. Ertz, over the back half of last season, when he finally started getting his chemistry going with Wentz, was the tight end 1 from week 9 on. He was the number one tight end in fantasy football from that point on. And he did it in spectacular fashion. Like, people like Kelsey because he was there all season and was just kind of steady. But he wasn't giving you – I mean, maybe he had a game here or there. But if you look at the stat lines for Ertz down the stretch, I mean, he was a monster, absolute monster. And he was playing on a team with a rookie quarterback that didn't have anybody else to throw to. Like, who else were defenses going to pay attention to? Their running backs were a joke. And their best receiver was Jordan Matthews. But now he's got – Alshon Jeffrey, whether he's a shell of himself or not, on the outside, at least people have to pay attention. And I think Ertz is gonna have a really big year. So 5 is probably too high because you don't have to take him there. You can probably, I mean, you can obviously take him at 11 because that's where his ADP is right now. But I think people are going to start seeing some preseason games, and that's going to climb, especially ahead of guys like you mentioned, Delaney Walker, who's in all of a sudden a really crowded passing attack in Tennessee and on a team that still wants to run the ball. I'm not convinced that the Philadelphia Eagles can run the ball. I think they're going to have to pass a ton like they did last year. And I think that Wentz takes a step forward. So it's just kind of one of those guys. He may be just my guy this year, and I'm going to go down on that ship. But he's just my guy. I mean, you kind of said it. We have our guys.
Yeah. I mean, he seems like a middle of the road, like 15, you know, 12, around. He's a tight end 1. Just guys I prefer more to him.
Sure. Yeah, and it's fair. And we all have our guys. I think for me, it's just and Ertz isn't without his injury risks, obviously. But if you have to have a tight end that you're going to trust every week, you want it to be a guy you like feel good about and want to root for on a team that, you know, I think that they're looking up in Philadelphia at least. So was that it, Tim? Was that the last big one that we got?
I think Tim had something to say. Go ahead, Tim. Get at this.
Oh, sure.
Man.
I'll just say I am not an Ertz fan. And the only reason, in my opinion, he started coming on late last year, especially that week 17 game on January 1st, he had 16 targets, 13 receptions for 139 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jordan Matthews wasn't even playing that week.
Right.
Which is pretty interesting. The 2 weeks before, he had 2 and 8 targets. So I guess you could say he was averaging 5 targets a week, but not really. Over the course of the whole season, he had 4 double-digit target games. He's a guy that is in an offense that we're looking at now that has added Alshon Jeffrey. Jordan Matthews is still there. Torrey Smith, you can bag on him all you want, but he's at least a lid lifter, and should be getting some targets down the field to open up some room for whatever type of running game they somehow put together with Blount. And then you saw Darren Sproles catching balls out of the backfield. To me, if you want to look at a team that is just so muddied with weapons, you can look at Tennessee all you want, but I think the Eagles are just as crowded, if not more crowded, than than the Titans are.
Hear, hear. That's good. Those are good points, Tim.
Yeah, keep saying that. Let's get his ADP further back so I can move him down my rankings. Yeah.
I mean, he's eclipsed 100 yards twice last year, week 17 and week 14.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's trash. You guys are right. No, just don't even draft Ertz. Let me have him everywhere. Trade him to me.
Four touchdowns, right? Four total touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
So don't draft him, guys. Right. In Keaton's leagues, that is.
Right, yeah. And, of course, I shouldn't have been so hard on Ertz because all of the home league guys are going to listen to this, I'm sure, and then I won't get him. Hey, take him as a tight end five, please. Just take him in the fifth round and just let the other guys fall to me, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe this is all a farce and he's trying to drive up Ertz's ADP so it's one more person that falls to him.
Yep, there you go. It's the long con I'm in here. That's the only reason I'm doing this podcast.
That's why you keep like rubbing the side of your nose. Like,
yeah, just every time I do that, you guys know that I'm up to something. And what I'm about to say isn't.
It's a sting.
Isn't on the level. Yeah. So was that the last big one that we had, Tim, for the rankings? Were there any other ones that we wanted to jump on?
No, those were the big ones.
All right, cool. Well, I guess that's going to start wrapping us up here for our first episode. We kind of went over our rankings and stuff. We'll maybe get to the wide receivers next week if, you know, Frank gets his on the website. And and then training camp starts next week, too. So we'll have the training camp stuff to start getting into. That'll be exciting. We will be coming to you guys every Thursday. Should be coming out in the morning time on Thursdays for our podcast. We'll be in that Dynasty Happy Hour feed. If you're subscribed to the Dynasty Happy Hour, you're all set. We'll be in your pocket every Thursday. Right where you want us. So, guys, let's kind of go around. Where can they find you on social media, or what you guys got going on?
You can find me at TimNFL on Twitter. I, along with this podcast, I also co-host Under the Helmet podcast, which is a Dynasty fantasy football podcast. But other than that, feel free to reach out anytime. And this goes for me, and I'm sure with anyone else.
Absolutely.
Slide into our DMs a little bit. Get a little get a little fresh if you need to, but send those questions over. And it's amazing the response we've already started getting from just putting out feelers for this. So send the questions in. I'm sure we'll have mailbag Twitter question type of episodes moving forward too.
That could get
absolutely
there.
How about you, Frank?
You guys can catch me, find me on Twitter, on the Twitter machine, at Dynasty Frank. I also co-host the Bull Rush podcast with Scott Fish and Ryan McDowell. I've attempted to write some articles for the Fantasy Authority. I will continue to attempt to write. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to write.
The good old college try for those articles.
Huh? Right. And definitely, like Tim said, just hit me up on Twitter and yeah, we'll answer whatever you want.
Perfect. Well, you can find me at Keaton Denley on Twitter. Find my articles and written work on the fantasyfootballers.com and also the fantasyauthority.com. You can find Frank and my rankings on the Dynasty Happy Hour on that website there. I'd like to thank Ty Miller and band Oakstone Ashes for our intro outro. I mean, this thing is hot. And so without further ado, I mean, we're going to get to that right now, and we'll see you guys next week.
Oh, don't forget to find us at DHH Fantasy Tilt on Twitter. That is our Twitter handle, so feel free to DM us there too.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a good spot. Thanks for that, and that's a good spot to get your questions in too. Maybe we'll get some on the show if we get a lot of them. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Peace. Peace.
This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.